We are talking about heaven's open door and how when we come to Christ Jesus, the door of heaven opens up for us and so many blessings open up for us. We've talked about a few of those blessings and how God breathes on us, and we're kind of going through different areas of how He breathes on us. You see, relationship with the eternal, all-knowing, all-loving Trinity is hard to get our minds around. I mean, think about it. When we think about it, the God who created everything out of nothing wants to have relationship with us. There are some days I don't want to have relationship with me, right? And God, in spite of who we are, in spite of what we do many times, God keeps saying, no, I love you. I want to be in your life. I want to be there for you. I want this relationship to work. And God is so amazing. He is so amazing. And the reason that we have to do something differently than just give Him our mind is because our mind can't comprehend God, but our heart can. Our heart can. Our heart is way more powerful than our mind. In fact, we find out in Scripture just how powerful it is. You see, our heart has the ability to join us in a relationship of communion with the Father. And our heart is the most valuable thing in all of creation to God. If we go to Proverbs 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. God is saying, trust me with your heart, not your mind, because your mind can't get a hold of me, but your heart can. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. With all of your heart. That word in the Hebrew means the total center of your being. Everything that you are. Your heart ties together your mind, your emotions, your soul, your spirit. Your heart is all of that. And God has created this invisible thing in us called the heart. And a lot of people say, well, I don't believe, you know, that's true. I said, really? Have you ever had your heart broken? Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever been in love with someone or something? You see, our heart. My mind can't get around this whole love thing with my wife, but my heart can. I love her with my heart. And I'm glad she loves me with her heart, because if she loved me with her mind, she would probably think of all the things that irritate her about me. Instead, her heart filters those things, and she loves me. And it's the same way with God. Our heart, it filters our life so that we can see God, so that we can get a hold of Him. With all of our heart, it is where God the Father breathes and touches men and women. We find out in Genesis 2:7, it says, the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. That breath, once God breathed into Adam, once God took Adam's rib and created woman, that breath of life was passed on in our DNA from the beginning of time. It's kind of interesting. Now that they do DNA studies, they find out that all of our DNA links back to two people. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. It doesn't matter what country you're from, what color you are. It doesn't matter. They can trace our DNA back to two specific people. You see, that life is passed on. God has passed that on in our DNA. And the wonderful thing is that even though Adam sinned, even though he fell away from that perfect relationship with God, God has been in the process of restoring that relationship. And in Christ, He did so. In John 20, 21 through 22, it says, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus did the very same thing. He breathed the Spirit of life once again into mankind. And we receive that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, when we come to Christ. We receive that. You know, you just get up every morning and say, Lord God, I want your breath in me. I want your Holy Spirit in me. Breathe on me. Breathe in me. Blow the dust off me, Lord. I want your breath. And Jesus did that. It's amazing that the first thing He says is He says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. He's saying, let there be peace between God and man. Let there be relationship between God and man. That's what he is saying there. Peace be with you. Every time Jesus came and he said to his disciples, peace be with you, you know what he was saying? He was saying, I want to have a relationship with you. I mean, you think about Jesus Christ as the Lord and King, the conquering Savior, the Lion of Judah, and you can pull back from that power, you can pull back from all that might, but Jesus says, peace be with you. My peace is with you. I want peace. I want relationship with you. And he breathed the Holy Spirit into mankind. The breath of God gives us supernatural peace. We talked about that last week. The breath of God gives our life supernatural relationship with the Father. We're going to talk about that today. And next week we'll talk about the breath of God gives us a supernatural purpose and mission. So how does the breath of God, okay, give us a supernatural relationship with the Father? You see, this relationship gives us the pathway to come to Him. To come to Him. We can come to God at all times, for all times, for all things, in all seasons. We can come to God. If you read through the Bible is all about God wanting man to once again come to Him and have relationship with Him. Jesus Christ's life and death and resurrection is all about that relationship of God saying, I want to have this supernatural relationship with you. And we're finite beings. And our mind can't get around it, so our heart has to. We have to give God a heart. We have to live with our heart. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't give us the mind to think it out, because He does. But sometimes you just got to know, when you know and you're knower, as my mentor and pastor, Pastor Jim Medeiros, used to say, when you know it and you're knower, that's your heart, and you follow it with everything that you've got. I'll give you a really good example of that. We knew deep within our hearts when God called us to pastor this church that we were supposed to change our life stream drastically and come and do that. So we loaded up the truck and we moved to Spearfish, not Beverly. We moved here. And we parked our truck in front of our house, and everybody who'd volunteered that day to help us unload our truck had something else going on. I had a huge U-Haul truck full of furniture sitting in front of my house with me. And I'm like, whoa, God, did I hear you clearly? You know, it was like, well, okay. And about that time, this wonderful man who lived next door came over and he said, you guys, are you the pastor and wife that are moving in? I said, yeah. He goes, where's your crew? And I said, well, things come up. And he laughed. He goes, yeah, things come up. He says, well, I'm not doing anything today. I'll help you unload. And so he did. And we ate a whole crock pot full of steam burgers. We still talk about that. And he and I have been friends for 25 years. You see, God does wonderful things. When you know and you know her, my mind was saying, wow, maybe this wasn't a good thing. But my heart knew it. It knew it. The breath of God gives our life a supernatural relationship. If we go to Luke 11, 9 and 10, it says, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, so I say to you, and this is in the Amplified version. The reason I'm using the Amplified is because it tells it to us literally, exactly what the Scripture says. It says here, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. And he who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And to him who knocks and keeps on knocking, the door shall be opened. Ask, 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 seek, 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 knock, knock, knock. Okay? God is trying to make this very clear. Sometimes we ask and then we quit asking. Sometimes we seek and then we quit seeking. Sometimes we knock, and when the door doesn't open immediately, we quit knocking. And God says, he who seeks and keeps on seeking, he who asks and keeps on asking, he who knocks and keeps on, will what? Will receive. If you keep on asking, you receive. If you keep on knocking, seeking, you find. If you keep on knocking, the door shall be opened. As Cindy and I advance in our age, we don't hear very well. As well. And sometimes we'll be knocking on the door and it won't open right away, you know? Or maybe the person on the other side of that door is busy, you know, like with their hairdryer, and you're knocking on the door outside of the motel. And finally you're like, okay, is this the right door? Have you ever, wow, could you imagine somebody, not somebody else coming? But you know what happens is, what if I quit knocking on the door? I'm sitting out there, I don't have a key. What if I quit knocking? And so many times, that's what we do. We quit knocking on the door. And God's just saying, just keep knocking. It'll open. Keep seeking. You'll find. Keep asking. You'll receive. And that's what God is saying in our relationship. He wants us. If you read this in Matthew, what you're going to find out is a story, a parable about a person who has somebody come visit them. They don't have any food, and they go over to their neighbor, and they say, hey, you know, they're knocking on the door. Hey, give me food. And the person says, go away. My kids are in bed. Leave me alone. And they keep knocking, and they keep knocking, and they keep knocking. And it's not about us being belligerent. It's about us. If we keep knocking, God is graceful, and he will give. He will open up the door. He is a father who has a perfect relationship with us, and he knows that relationship's perfect, but sometimes we question it, don't we? Because he maybe doesn't do it just the way we want him to do it, so we wonder if maybe this relationship, there's something wrong here. And God's just saying, you keep knocking, you keep asking, you keep seeking, keep it up, keep it up. You're going to get it, because maybe we're asking for the wrong things, maybe we're looking for the wrong things, and maybe we're knocking on the wrong door. And so God says, I want you to keep doing this and keep doing it and keep doing it, and you will grow in our relationship. God places within our hearts the purposes of eternity. And that's what we're supposed to seek. That's what we're supposed to ask. That's what we're supposed to knock. It is our supernatural duty and destiny to unlock those purposes in our life. You see, here's how we're supposed to ask, seek, and knock. First of all, ask for God to show you his purpose every day. Ask God to show you his purpose every day. That's what we're supposed to ask for, is his purpose. Not our frivolous wants, but his purpose. Ask him for our needs. Ask him, for what, Lord, what do I need today? Lord, what is your purpose for me today? Lord, what are you trying to show me today? Ask him these things. Secondly, seek him out in everything that you are doing. Seek him out in everything you're doing. We had a really incredible experience last Monday. Seek him out in everything you're doing, because when we left Monday morning, my goal was to get to Glacier National Park in as quick of time as I could, because there's a lot of space between here and there that isn't much to look at. Right? Okay. But I wasn't seeking him out. I was not seeking him out in everything that I was doing. I wasn't watching for him in the journey. And he reminded us just how important it is for us to do that. And then knock on the doors of his opportunities until he opens the door. When God puts something in your heart, okay? When he puts something in your heart, it's there for a reason, and it doesn't go away. And you keep knocking on that door. It doesn't go away. God's purposes don't go away. His purpose for your life doesn't go away. It may change. It may look different over the years, but it does not go away. You know, God's purpose for us to plant and pastor this church, it has never gone away. And there's been some interesting stuff going on, but it's never gone away. You know, and God told me, he said, well, kiddo, you've signed up for this, okay? And I said, well, for how long? And God said, why don't you buy a burial plot right here in Spearfish? No, he really told me that, you know? And I said, well, how about cremation? Because I'd much rather be floating around the lake in the Bighorns when I'm done, you know? God just kind of chuckled, I'm sure. But you see, he puts something in our heart. We keep knocking on that door, and he'll open doors, and different things will go on in our lives, but we'll know in our heart, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing for this season. God puts that there. Keep on knocking every day because Jesus is waiting at the door of your heart. You know what's really interesting is Jesus says, if you'll knock, I'll open the door. But then we go to the end of the story in Revelation where Jesus kind of reminds us of something. He says in Revelation 3:20, he says, here I am. It's kind of interesting. Jesus is saying, here I am. Jesus is saying, here I am, I'm present. But using that word I am, that name I am, here I am. God told the Israelites, when they asked for his name, he said, just tell everybody I am. What do you mean I am? And God says, I am. Well, what are you? God, I'm everything. And Jesus said, here I am. I am everything. I am everything that you could ever, ever possibly dream of. I am everything that you could ever possibly think of me. I am. Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. Jesus is at the door of our heart every day. And if we're over here knocking or seeking or running around and not paying attention, Jesus is right there knocking on the door of our heart. He says, here I am. I'm at the door and I'm knocking. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. He loves us so much that he knocks on the door of our hearts over and over and over and over and over. He never stops knocking. And that's why he says to us, don't stop knocking. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. You see, he knocks on the door of our hearts so that we will continue to ask, so that we will continue to seek, so that we will continue to knock. For him. For him. Like I said, last Monday, we left Spearfish fairly early in the morning. And it's about a 12 and a half hour drive from here to Columbia Falls, where we were staying, not very far from West Glacier. And it took us 20 hours. Yeah, you figured out, if you leave about 7:30, it's 3:30 in the morning by the time we got to Columbia Falls. And I kept calling the motel. I mean, I wanted someplace to sleep when I got there, right? You know, I mean, our car is not that comfortable to sleep in. And so I called, and finally the lady, Jenny, really sweet gal, we got to know her this week, she says, Jim, your room will be here when you get here. And I said, well, that might not be till tomorrow the way things are going. And she just laughed. She says, your room will be here. You paid for it. I'm like, yeah, I paid for a day I'm never going to use, right? So she said, your room is going to be here. Don't worry about it. When you get here, you just come up to the office and, you know, we'll have this figured out for you. I said, okay. Because we drove up to Billings and ate lunch. Okay? Things are going cool. We're on time. We leave Billings, and Siri, sometimes she's demon-possessed. Or she thinks she knows where you want to go. But, you know, honestly, where she told us to go, that seemed like a really good idea. Except we got about 10 miles out of town, out of Billings, on Highway 3. Anybody ever travel Highway 3 out of Billings? If you have time, I would suggest it. It's beautiful up there, okay? Well, we got about 10 miles out, and I looked down, and I was like, I forgot to get gas in Billings. And I thought, I have no idea what's out here. There are names of towns I've never heard before. And two things crossed my mind. The first thing was, I hope there's a bathroom for Cindy. That was the first thing. And the second thing, what if they don't have gas? So I said to Cindy, we got to turn around. I don't have enough. We might not have enough gas. So we turned around. This is the beginning of our travel. We turn around. We go back to Billings. I'm gassing up. And I come around the corner, and I hear this noise that nobody likes to hear when they're on a trip. This noise. And I look at the tire, and it just goes flat, and I'm like, oh, that's not good. But I'm thinking, well, praise God, I forgot to get gas because we're back in Billings, right? And so we go inside, and I said, is there, you know, there's no such thing as a full-service gas station anymore. You know, William Standard down in downtown here, just go in there once in a while and just tell them how much you love them because they're still here, right? And so anyway, we go in, and we say, hey, you know, we need help. And they said, oh, there's like this place right across the street called Christian Brothers. Man, you know, is that a sign or what? Right? And it is a chain of automotive, you know, repair shops called the Christian Brothers, owned by Christians, run by Christians, worked by Christians. So we called, and the guy said, "Man, I'm sorry, I can't come over and get it, but if you take the tire off or get your car here, we'll fix it for you." This is like, by this time, it's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4:30, okay? And so we get over there, we're talking to the guy. They have given away how many New Testaments since they've opened up 5 years ago? They have given away 6,000 New Testaments in their lobby since they opened up 5 years ago. So we had this wonderful conversation with this guy. Darcy and Walter just moved up there. And they're always looking for, you know, somebody to work on their cars. Who would be better than this guy, right? So we think, hey, cool. So we get ready to leave, and Siri wants to take us to the interstate this time. And we're thinking maybe the interstate would be a good thing. Well, we had a lot of things happen along the interstate. No car problems, but just hilarious. It was just hilarious. It was like the harder we tried, the behinder we got. You know? It was just. And so finally, we're outside of Missoula, Montana at about midnight, a little after midnight, 12:30 probably, 12:30, 1 o'clock. And we're at this point, we don't know when the next bathroom's going to be. You know, because the state of Montana, they're also, their highway department's demon-possessed because they close rest stops just for absolutely no reason at all other than you have to pee. Okay? So anyway, we see this rest stop, and Cindy says, "I think it'd be a good idea." You know, we're like 10 miles out of Missoula, and I'm thinking, "We could go to Missoula." And she goes, "No, I think this would be a good idea." And I was like, "Yeah, you're right." We pull in this rest area. We get out of the car, and we see three young people, and we hear them talking, and Cindy says to me, says, "Wow, somebody's getting preached to." I mean preached to, like Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost preached to. This one young man is talking to this young lady, and she's crying, and this other one, he's sitting there going, "Amen, amen, amen," okay? And we had to go over, and it's like, he says, "You guys talking about Jesus?" "Oh, yeah." He says, this one young kid says, "We're coming up." He says, "Our friend came out from Washington to get us." We lived, these two kids lived in Baton Rouge. This guy and gal lived in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He says, "Our friend came from Washington State to come and get us. He got saved about a year ago, and he came down to talk to us, and he said we need to move out to Washington and get away from all our stuff." And he was right. And I said, "Well, how's that going?" He said, "Well, we got to Sturgis." And he said, I said, "Really, Sturgis?" He said, "Yeah, the bike rally's going on." "Yeah, the bike rally's going on." He goes, "And I told my friend, I need to find a church in Sturgis during the bike rally." I said, "So what happened?" He said, "Well, we went to two churches and they were closed, but the third one we went to, it was open. And this guy by the name of Pastor John," I said, "Pastor John Williams." And he said, "Yes, do you know him?" I said, "We're good friends. We've been friends for years and years." He said, "We walked in there," he said, "and I told him I needed Jesus. And he not only gave me Jesus, but he delivered a demon out of me."
Praise the Lord.
Praise God for that, right? I mean, this kid was a little jazzed, okay? And we looked, and this young lady, she's like in tears. And I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "I'm just trying to tell her how much she needs Jesus." And Cindy and I, we talked with this young gal, and we said, "You do need Jesus, sweetheart. It will change your life. He will change your life." And she says, "Okay." And she's sitting there, she's crying. And so we prayed over him. And God gave me a prophetic word of purity. And I don't know what's gone on in this young lady's life, but I just looked at her and I said, "God has given me a word that is going to hold true in your life for the rest of your life. And that word is purity." She broke down. She gave her life to Jesus right there on the spot. We prayed with them a little while. We talked with them a little while. And you know, the interesting thing is they had to stop in that rest area at dark because the headlights on their car quit working. Yeah. We have a Mazda that does that. The next time that light goes out, I'm just going to pull over and start preaching to the cop, you know? But you see, God has a reason for everything. He's got a reason for relationship. I was thinking about this. He loved and loves people so much that he would take him all the way from Baton Rouge to Sturgis to get delivered and strand him out in the middle of Montana so that a couple other Christians could come along and preach a little bit of prophecy into their life and pray Jesus into their life and change their life forever. That's how much God loves us. That's how much Jesus loves us. Man, if that isn't breathing relationship, breathing life into our life, I don't know what is. Kind of got us jazzed too. So God loves us. And I encourage you to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking. Because the journey may take you a little bit longer than you planned, but it's way worth it. It's way worth it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we're on a journey with you. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be patient. Help us to follow you. Help us to wait. Help us to ask and keep asking. To Lord, to seek and keep seeking and to knock and keep knocking. So that we're never, ever, ever stopping before the goal, before that blessing that you have for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, in this walk, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.